Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I saw Woods and Paul on television last night. Welcome back. Ben and Woods, final hour on 97.3 The Fan. This hour, this hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is, great. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Don't forget, you're listening for our special sounder to call in to win Padres Yankees tickets for this weekend's series. 833-288-0973 when you hear it. And
you'll know.
You'll know it when you hear it. Even if you weren't listening earlier, you'll know it when you hear it. Yes. Well, okay. Let me be more accurate. I put you guys on television last night.
Oh.
Because I played some of our Xander Schauffele interview from yesterday on our 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock newscast. And now that we have the nice YouTube feed with video of all of us, and I didn't have video of Xander because he wasn't on Zoom, it was just the three of us sitting on camera talking to Xander.
Now, I did not give you express written consent.
Did you get your check?
I did not get my check or any of this.
We don't pay people to come on the news. The news is the news. It's
Is it name?
Public, it's for public information and public good.
Name, image, likeness?
Yeah. It wasn't a sponsored segment. It was just the news. You made news, so you were on the news. And the news was you interviewed a major championship winning golfer. I only put this up for like 3 or 4 seconds, and I covered it with Xander holding up the trophy and stuff, but did see you on television. Did anyone else see you on television?
I did not. I've not heard anything.
All right. It's good, though. Now that we have, video, we can use that when, television appearances call.
Yeah, you should be cross-promoting Ben Woods more.
Right? Are you mad? It was a great cross-promotion.
No, I'm not mad. I don't care.
You don't mind that I put you on TV?
I don't really like being on TV. I don't really like being on camera here, but I do it because I know it's important. Taking one for the team.
Exactly.
I would have liked to keep a little bit more mystery. You know me. Not very forthcoming about my life and whatnot. So more mystery than better.
Person.
Very private person, yes.
I feel like we don't play to the cameras too much. They're just
I sometimes forget it's there.
Here. I do too.
Because as I'm chewing a pen or, gnarling picking on a cord, picking my nose a little. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it does. Over 4 hours. It's different when you're doing like a short segment on television and you're in a studio and everything. But here, they kind of fade off into the background a little bit.
Yeah,
you're just kind of sitting with us.
Diesel says, Ben finally plugged Ben and Woods on the TV. Yeah, well, it's only been like 6 years.
I plug it every single week.
Do you?
Yeah, at least once.
Once a week?
At least once a week.
How do you do it?
I usually on my Sunday show, because I've got more time, I will always end or put it in one of the segments. Hey, you want more Padres talk? Make sure you join Ben and Woods weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.3 The Fan on the radio.
I do feel like Paulie and I have really soiled the bed by not recording every new and analyzing every news hit that or every sports hit that he does.
Pretty buttoned up when it comes to those segments.
I get it, but you know me. What is my favorite thing to do in the world? Pull on a thread. If I could just get one little nugget that I could get, but I just don't have the time or the inclination to record it and go back through it every single day.
Like last night we had some prompter issues, so I had to start ad-libbing my highlights, but I'm pretty good at it, so.
You did?
Yeah, the
All right,
prompt
next,
just froze.
Next time like, that happens, bring that.
Yeah.
And then tell us that, and then we can pick it apart.
I would hope you really wouldn't have noticed much of all. It wasn't quite as perhaps well-crafted in terms of what was going on. I was just started describing what I saw on the screen. But, yeah, you just got to adjust when that happens.
Somebody said, do you say that you like things on TV?
Rarely.
No. No, I like that.
Rarely.
Yeah. All right.
Because it's usually scripted, and I don't type out, ooh, I like things. That's more of a natural instinct for me, that I like things.
Steph Curry.
Like going into my script screen. And
I like this. I like this.
I like that. I don't type it all out.
Okay.
I do like the Rindle Report, though,
which is
happening right now.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right, indeed.
It is the Rindle Report brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. The Frozen Ropes is now registering ball players age 6 through 12. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com for more information. We will start off in the world of competitive eating. Kobayashi, the GOAT, has retired.
You guys wanted more sports. You got it. Here it is.
Right here. ESPN 8, the Ocho. Kobayashi, the Japanese eating legend, he made his debut in the year 2000 on a competitive eating show in Japan, and he ate 60 plates of sushi, 2.7 kilograms, I don't know the conversion there, potatoes.
What is the conversion there?
About 4 or 5 pounds.
And 16 bowls of ramen. He had all that in one sitting, and they thought, well, this guy should be...
You should be a competitive eater, kid.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like watching Babe Ruth hit home runs at the orphanage. Hey, you should be a baseball player. You, son, should be a competitive eater.
Yeah, prior to Joey Chestnut taking the throne, Kobayashi had won 6 straight Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contests, and he's calling it a career. He made an appearance on a new Netflix documentary called Hack Your Health, The Secrets of Your Gut. And doctors discovered that his brain had literally become repelled by highly processed foods. He said, for the past 20 years, I've been in this field. I worry about the consequences of my decision, but most importantly, I want to repair my brain and gut. He has just kind of lost the appetite.
That's why I quit competitive smoking after so many years.
So I'm kind of mad because we were robbed of what would have been one of the great all-time rivalries in competition, if not sports. Joey Chestnut versus Kobayashi.
Yep.
They only went head-to-head a couple of times at Nathan's, and then Kobayashi got into a dispute with a Major League Eating
MLE,
and boycotted MLE, and he broke off on his own. So it's like PGA Tour and
Live.
We never got to see the best two eaters really in their prime keep going head to head. It happened a couple of times. Joey took the crown, and then Kobayashi got arrested in 2010 for showing up, even though he wasn't a competitor. And that was it. We never saw him again at the big major of the year, the Nathan's Famous on 4th of July.
I think, if you're going to address the MLE, number one, Rob Manfred, that's better suited for him than MLB. The MLE, I think, has really got his name on it. Two, you got to end these blackouts. Number two, the MLE. It's getting ridiculous having to pay for so many services to see grown men eat.
Robot judges
would be much better.
Fantastic.
100%. Or at least a challenge system. Yeah. So you pat your belly.
Technology's there. Let's get these calls right.
The technology's there. Yeah. They're doing it in dorm rooms across the country.
Pat your belly.
I would say, out of all of the sports, that's a better fit for Rob.
You realize that at some point, if your job is competitive eater, you're going to have some health problems. I know Joey eats pretty healthy outside of the competitive eating, but you can't just do that for years and years without doing permanent damage to your body. What did Kobayashi say? He couldn't smell food anymore.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
Lost the sense of smell.
All for some glory, man. All for that. That guy left it out on the field.
Yeah.
His whole life.
All right. We got a couple of stories here tied into one surrounding the NBA's future with their broadcast. We played in, for Doo-Doo this, we played Ernie Johnson's acceptance speech at the Sports Emmys yesterday. And you could kind of hear it in his voice. There's been so much speculation. What's going to happen if TNT loses the NBA rights? Well, it looks like
we know Ernie's not going to become a bitter, sulking human being.
Correct.
At least he'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But he's also under contract with Turner, and he has, I believe, he said publicly, like, I will stay with Turner should the NBA move on. And so reports coming out this morning in the Sports Business Journal that the NBA is just finishing up the written contracts with Disney, ESPN, and ABC, NBC, and Amazon, and that's going to be your new NBA broadcast. TNT will have them for one more year, so next season will be the last of Inside the NBA with Ernie and Chuck and Shaq and Kenny.
End of an era.
Those guys have been doing it for, what, 20 years?
I refuse to believe it. And I know because Ernie's a good guy and TNT has treated him well that he says, oh, no, I'm going to honor my contract.
Dude, you got to let them
TNT out. Has to go, Ernie, we appreciate everything you've done. And while we don't want to lose you, if they're all going, if Chuck and Shaq and Kenny are going to NBC, you need to go as well. And they need to let him out of his contract. They can do that. Contracts can be rewritten with the agreement of both parties and say, we appreciate your service, and we're going to do this for you so you can stay with those guys. And then NBC can pay Ernie a fortune as well to go along with everybody else and keep it all together. Because it's good for basketball. It's good for them. It's good for the fans. And if TNT doesn't have basketball, don't stick Ernie around just to, what do they have, like one MLB playoff series every year?
Right.
And that's all we're going to see
you
Ernie
can contract
for?
Contract out.
No.
You know, whatever. Figure it
let
out.
Him go, let him go. Let him go, TNT. Let him go.
I don't know if that would be with ABC, with NBC, or maybe even Amazon. Because they're getting
wherever
the
other guys are going. Just stay with
them. Keep the group together. Inside sources believe that ESPN is going to pay for the A package with the NBA, which is $2.8 billion a year. And that's going to give them the NBA Finals, the Conference Finals, the weekly primetime games, WNBA rights, pretty much what they've already had. NBC is going to step in, so you won't get the doubleheaders on Tuesdays and Thursdays on TNT. It'll be on NBC. And that's 2.6
billion. Switch my whole schedule now, guys.
So NBC, like the NBC Sports Channel, or what?
I don't know.
They're not going to be on like NBC, probably.
No, probably not. But they are going to be launching a basketball night in America. You've seen it on Sunday nights during
football.
So after the NFL season is over in February, they'll be doing basketball night in America on Sunday nights. And then Amazon is also jumping in, going to have some games. They're going to have like the in-season tournament and stuff like that, first round of playoff games. And then yesterday on the Dan Le Batard show, they were talking about this, and they had one John Tesh on their show. And of course, he came up with Round Ball Rock, the greatest intro and sports intro out there. And he pretty much confirmed all of this, that the NBA is going to be moving to NBC.
Has NBC reached out to you about reviving Round Ball Rock?
They have, actually. Yeah. They it's not nothing, you know, firm. But they said, hey, can you stay frosty on this? You know, it's like a Navy SEALs thing. Because we'd love to talk to you about it. And we're actually talking right now about licensing it to them for the Olympics in Paris.
Oh,
which is
wow.
Always great. Yeah, I love. So we're actually going in at the end of June. We're heading to Nashville, and we got a full orchestra on hold. We're going to re-record it. Because it's the recording still sound. I think it still sounds great, but I wanted to make a few changes. Maybe open up the middle. You know, maybe
open up the middle a little. That's what I was thinking.
John Tesh is talented. He's got a great voice.
Great voice.
Get host Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah,
he's got musical talent. I mean, John
he's
Tesh
really
is
got
great.
It all.
He does, doesn't he? He's handsome.
Yeah, he's handsome.
And then finally, got a story here that Woodsy actually sent over. One of those trial restaurant things, if it works, it could expand.
Yes. I don't know about this one.
Like Taco Bell Cantina is all of a sudden now
exactly.
a thing.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, maybe a limited menu option at In-N-Out. They'll try it at a few locations, see if it catches on. So in New York, where is this? Woodstock, New York, Cheez-It is opening up a Cheez-In diner, is what they're calling it. A diner devoted to Cheez-Its.
Diner.
Hmm. And they're going to open it up like next week, or no, it's opening this week for about a week, and it's going to give people the chance to mix in some Cheez-Its with their typical diner foods. So they're going to have the extra cheeseburger with a Z, a smash burger topped with lettuce, pickles, and an extra big Cheez-It cracker in the middle.
I'd eat that.
How about this?
The Cheez-It milkshake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The deluxe Cheez-It milkshake is a creamy vanilla shake blended with Cheez-It crackers, a caramel and crushed Cheez-It cracker rim.
It's got a rim
and
at top, the
top
of
whipped Cheez-Its. Cream. They also have a big grilled cheese. It's a cracker-coated Texas toast sandwich filled with pimento cheese surrounded by a crunchy Cheez-It cracker crust.
I never really thought of mixing Cheez-Its with anything else.
Literally nothing.
Cheez-Its are like the one cracker that doesn't need anything.
You don't dip them?
You don't dip them? Nope.
You just
a
handful and eat
That's it.
And they're delicious. All flavors. All of them. They're all good. I've never had a bad flavor or kind of Cheez-It. But I don't want it in my omelet. You know what I mean?
White cheddar Cheez-Its are my kryptonite.
They're so good.
I mean, adding the crunch to the burger of the big Cheez-It is not the worst idea.
But it's a big Cheez-It.
We're going to have
a big one.
Other menu items. Cheesy with a Z again. Cheesy Chicky Tendies. Includes chicken tenders breaded in original Cheez-It crackers. They have fries, macaroni and cheese, biscuits, and also cheesecakes with Cheez-Its.
It's a lot of Cheez-Its.
That's a lot.
I don't expect this concept to go global.
It's a pop-up shop. Yeah. They do it for a week here, a week there.
To get people like us to talk about it.
They had one at Joshua Tree. I'm going to Joshua Tree tomorrow.
Yeah,
I just missed it by a year.
It says here, last year they had a convenience store, a Cheez-It-themed convenience store in the desert.
Hmm.
But this is the diner version now.
Doesn't sound great to me. And
not
I like Cheez-Its.
Not the best.
Thank you, Paulie.
You're welcome.
All right, I think the most obvious decision in the history of sports may have finally been made. We'll get to that coming up next with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic. Don't go anywhere. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations to Andy. Heard the sounder during our break. In fact, a lot of people did on our YouTube chat. You actually startled people in the YouTube stream, Polly. They were not expecting that.
Maybe Maggie's right. Maybe that drop does suck.
No.
Reminded me, though, yesterday Wood startled me in our Odyssey restroom.
I heard about this.
And I told Polly.
How did you hear? Oh, you.
When I walked out, Polly was there, and I go, Woods just got me good. Because after the show, we were leaving the station, and you walked off to the left to go work out at the gym. Good for you, being healthy.
Thank you.
I walked off to the right, and as I was leaving, I went by the bathroom. I said, I'll just stop in the restroom. And there was actually a couple other guys in there.
Yeah.
Not talking, but I just go to, you know.
Do your business.
Do my business at the urinal.
Number one.
Yes. And I, all of a sudden, someone just comes up from behind me. I jump.
As high
as I can jump, which is not very far, while I'm in the middle of number one.
2 inches off the ground.
And, of course, it's Woods, who had come in. There's a separate entrance through the gym. So I didn't know he had been in the bathroom. He had gone the other way. I figured there's no way. So I'm thinking, did one of these two guys that I don't know just come up from behind me in the bathroom? And
I grabbed his ass. I grabbed a handful of it. I did.
Did you sneak into the bathroom knowing he was going to be there?
You know, there's the one door to the bathroom, but then there's an adjoining door, a different door that connects to the gym and the locker room.
It's like bathroom, locker room area.
Yeah, and then the gym. And so I was like, I was put my stuff down, I was getting ready to work out, and I went, all right, I'm going to hit the head first. And so I walked in, and I see our beloved Ben standing at the urinal. And these two guys, again, they were at the sink, you know, chopping it up, talking, blah, blah, blah. So I walk up. He does not deviate his eyes. His eyes are dead ahead. And I walk up next to him, and I just go, and I just grab a handful. And he goes, oh, and jump.
What did the other guys do?
They had just walked out when I grabbed his butt.
Okay, so I was walking by the bathroom, the main door, was walking down that hallway, and I heard the door open, and those other guys had walked out.
Yes.
And so I let them go, and then I did hear a loud noise.
Yeah.
Like I heard a scream in the back.
Yeah,
that was me.
What the hell? I was laughing so hard.
And then 10 seconds later, Ben comes strolling out. He goes, Woods just got me.
Don't worry, I've got my meeting with Odyssey HR at 10:30 after the show today.
Look, man.
My complaint.
Looking caked up there at the urinal, and I couldn't control myself. Sorry. I did. I grabbed a handful. I mean, when you're not expecting anybody you know to be in that bathroom and somebody grabs your ass.
It's a very unnerving feeling. I'll say that. Ben in the chat says, throw that into our weight room
situation.
From last Halloween, and I've got a really good case going.
Yeah, go ahead.
Against
have fun. Have fun without me. All right, that's what I said. I did. I went up and went. So I do it to my wife all the time. She also has a similar reaction when I do it. And she's married to me.
Do you have an HR department at your house, too?
Yeah. No, she is the HR department of my house. I don't do the slap, really. I do the, I grab like a boop, boop,
If we're like passing each other, I'll just slap, little butt
I did
slap.
Get her.
Hey, good game.
She was bending over the other day, and I walked by, and I went like, on the back, and she's like, screamed. So that's when she gets really mad. So, but yeah, I needed to give you one.
It comes from a place of love.
Oh, it was all love. It's all love.
I do. So, okay, I teased this. So just quickly, the most obvious decision that we've all been waiting, I don't know, 20, 25 years for. I saw yesterday that the NFL is going to test in the preseason a new optical targeting system, basically to replace the chains for the first down marker. So instead of having three guys with two poles and a chain go out and measure whether or not they've gained 10 yards, They're just going to have a scanning system that they can do it automatically. And, like, if the guy gets 10 yards, the ball is spotted. And if it was more than 10 yards from where the first down was, it'll just, like, a green light will go on and go, first down. You don't have to stop the game to have these guys with chains that were invented in, you know, 1921 when football started being a thing to come out and measure the most inaccurate system you can possibly do in the year 2024. They're going to try an optical system. And if it works in the preseason, they say, we're just going to put it in for the regular season next year. No waiting period. No maybe vote in 2025. If this thing works in the preseason, we may never see chains again the NFL.
Will we miss the drama of the chain moving out? And then it's, oh, it's this short.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I'm not going to miss it.
I won't either.
It never made any sense. And then half the time, you know, it would be so close to the end and the nose would be right on the edge and I go, I still don't know if he made it or not. Now at least there'll just be a definitive optical targeting system that will tell us whether or not the guy got the first down.
Watching those guys run out with the chains, though, was priceless.
Now, there's still the human element. The guy who spots the ball is still kind of guessing. Did he get it to the 32 and a half or the 32 and three quarters, you know, based on where he was tackled and you know, forward progress and... He'll still have to spot the ball fairly randomly. After he spots the ball, though, the targeting, the optical scanner system will take over and determine whether it's a first down or not in the preseason.
Lenny said, they just guess half the time or move it. You're right. I mean, this spot's something. You're like, did he just give him an extra foot on that spot? It sure looks like it. And, you know, the chains come out.
Do they even know that it's totally straight?
It's got to
make sure it's got to be
taut.
Real straight. It's got to be taut.
Taut.
It's got to be straight. How much training did those guys go through to have that job of being chain gang anyway?
It's the, you know, those guys are like greeters at Walmart during the week, and then on Sundays they get to run out with the chains.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are at least, you know, 80 to 100 really sad people right now who have a cush job.
Yeah, cush.
They probably got paid an obscene amount of money to stand there and have the best seat in the house right on the,
200
right on the field.
Max.
Is that for even the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to know what the going rate was. I bet it'd get 500 a game.
I held a light for ESPN Deportes one time.
Well, media doesn't pay anything.
No, but I was like, it was with ESPN Deportes. My buddy was a producer there and goes, hey, you want to come down to the new Texas Stadium, the nice one, Jerry World, and just hold this light, like one of these, just one of these light for the guy that's doing the shtick, and you could stand on the sideline. I go, yeah. And I actually made it into an NFL commercial.
You're right.
Nice.
How much? $75.
$75 a game.
They're just doing it for the access to the sideline.
Paulie, look up NFL ballet, and you will see your boy standing on the sideline from that game. But I made like $100 maybe to hold the light for ESPN. But it's cool. I mean, down on the field for a game, it was really, really solid. Yeah, Brandon says, find that commercial. It's out there. NFL ballet. It's from like 2000. I don't even know. But somebody went up to make a great catch that just slows down with me right there on the sideline. So, yeah, you find it?
No.
All right, I'll find it for you. I'll show you what it is.
All right, we'll find it. We'll take a little time out. Final segment of Ben and Woods coming up. We can look ahead. Game two of the Padres series in Cincinnati. And once again, they've put themselves in the undesirable position of feeling like, oh, you got to win these next two.
Of course.
Just like they did last week against Colorado. And we know how that went. So we'll get to that coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
A lot of chatter about my NFL commercial.
We did find it.
Many, many years ago. Yeah. NFL ballet commercial.
You were on the sideline of an NFL game.
Yeah, you can Google it. And my buddies call me and text me all the time when they would, because it ran all the time back then. And, it's somebody going up for a pass and another guy right on him, and it's really a beautiful shot. And then you got me in the background looking like a buffoon standing on the sideline. Jeans on.
Someone got the video going right now.
Yeah, got the video going.
It's very slow motion.
It's slow motion, yeah.
And, there you are.
There's our old pal
Woodsy. Now, keep it rolling and see. Now, he's next to the ESPN camera guy. That's why you were there, working with the camera. But, of course, you also positioned yourself within, 6 feet of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders who are standing on the sideline next to you right there.
Oh,
there we go. Yeah.
I'm
convenient.
No dummy. Yeah. That was fun. It was cool to watch a football game from that perspective. of that magnitude.
It's not a great view of a football game.
No, it's really not. There are, you know, what I've found about football, there's not really that many great views of a football game. A 50-yard line's cool. We just sat, when I took Bo to Notre Dame last year, and we were like the 45, which was pretty good. Better product on television. Always has been.
Oh, yeah.
Always will be.
100%.
Always will be.
Honestly, I think baseball is better a little bit higher up, like the second section up as well. Just like football is better. You don't want to be way at the top where everyone's like ants, but you need to be able to see the whole field and be somewhere around the middle. So in baseball, kind of behind home plate, you know, at least 20, 30 rows up or in the like in the Petco Park, Toyota Terrace. Is fantastic behind home plate there, which is why I believe they charge more for those.
Yes, exactly right.
It's a very good, very good perspective on the game, of course.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, man. That was at least 16, 17 years ago. Yeah. So, but it was fun, man. Getting to stand down there was really cool. I mean, like hearing everything down there from that low is pretty badass.
I told you before, when I was in high school, I worked at the pro shop for the Seattle Seahawks, and game days were insane. Just sat at a register all day, you know, selling jerseys or whatever. And on my lunch break, get like 30 minutes, I would go grab some food and then just sneak down the tunnel and sit on the field and watch the game for 15 minutes. And dude, like that was the first time I'd ever been that close to NFL players. And you're like, they look like vending machines moving at high speeds.
It's truly bananas.
They're huge. And the speed that they can run with and the agility and how like, quick, they can just kind of move around the field. It's insane how they can move their bodies like that.
I sat probably third row at an NBA game in Boston at the Boston Garden with my dad. And we were like, I was under the goal, but like three rows back, somewhere around that area. Same. I mean, you're looking and going, good Lord, these are not human beings. These are physical marvels. Truly, truly incredible.
I'm sat always courtside one time. It was like 2007. Sonics were playing the Orlando Magic. Dwight Howard was like a rookie or something. 7 feet tall. The shoulders on this man.
Yeah,
like, holy crap.
Yeah, I'm not a short person.
No.
I'm over 6 feet, 3 inches tall. Yet when I go onto a basketball court, it's still the rim still looks up there like a ways. But you watch NBA players up close and they're so easily up by the rim, just dropping the ball in the basket. And
they're also athletic.
I mean, they're athletic, but they're just massively big and athletic at the same time. It is really a remarkable combination.
In baseball players, the same thing. You walk down on the field and you're like, I'm older than all of these guys, and I look like a little kid. I look standing next to Joe Musgrove, I feel like a little kid.
I thought Blake Snell was always the best example. I watched him on TV from afar, and you go, yeah, he's kind of a smaller dude,
yeah,
right?
Skinny. No,
he's like 6'4", he is not. 6'5". No, he is not at all. He's a big, strong
Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish is big, very strong.
Luis Garcia was one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen, and I stood next to him and I went, oh my God.
Have you walked past or stood next to Eniel De Los Santos?
Yes. He's a tank.
Freak.
He's a tank. Yeah.
Huge.
I saw him the other day in the locker room. I went, oh my God, he's a tank. Yeah, and it's like, well, no wonder they throw 97 miles an hour. Look how they're built. It's crazy. Man, that was a cool.
And people
thing,
make though. Fun of baseball players for being the non-athletes
Correct.
Of professional sports. No, they're not.
Things have changed.
Very athletic.
Things have changed.
Even the ones that, the kind of the jokey ones, like the Bartolo Colons and the Heath Bells, the guys who have bellies. They're still incredible athletes. John Kruk, you think he was an incredible athlete?
Incredible.
He was an incredible athlete.
I think about like NFL linemen, I grew up thinking, oh, they're just the big fat guys.
Yeah, big fat guys.
No.
Those guys run 4.3 40s now.
Right. They do ballet, as your commercial so very well explained.
It's incredible. All right, let's preview Michael King in the King City, Ben.
Right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. It's the Queen City.
Oh, I thought it was the King City.
No,
Queen City.
Traffic
All right.
first. This hour, Ben Woods, brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players. Pick your stats. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit PrizePicks.com for details. You weren't paying attention. obviously last night when Mark Grant explained the history of the Queen City and why Cincinnati is called the Queen City.
I remember vaguely hearing it, but I thought he said King City.
Some like newspaper ad from the 1800s where they said, "Oh, Cincinnati, Queen of the Midwest." Okay. And they just all of a sudden adopted it. And Cincinnati is the Queen City, but Michael King is going to try to make it into the King City tonight in Game 2 of the Padres series. Well, tonight, Cincinnati, but really this afternoon here. It's a 3:40 first pitch, another 2:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. So we're only a few hours away from baseball here on 97.3 The Fan. It'll be Nick Martinez, the former Padre, on the mound. Padres did beat Nick Martinez in the series at Petco Park. He wasn't terrible. He went six hits, three earned runs, a walk, and three strikeouts, but they were able to at least get a little bit of offense against Nick, and the Padres going to be looking to break out. They have gone 19 consecutive innings now without scoring a run. They had the great rally to win the first game of the doubleheader, didn't score in the ninth, and then went nine innings each of the past two games without putting a run on the board.
Let's end that thing here.
How about
in the first inning? My God, man, that can't go on. Yeah, Nick Martinez. You know what you're going to get with Nick Martinez. He's not going to overpower these guys. He's going to throw his changeup. You know, I talked to Adam Jones earlier about kind of what he's seeing. A lot of guys trying to go pull side when you're slumping. You get up there and you're just trying to pull everything. Can't do that, man, on a changeup. You're just going to be Randy Rollover all night, just weakly tapping balls to the shortstop and third baseman. Use that gap in right center if you're a right-hander. Try to hit one out of the ballpark today. I don't care
if you're quote-unquote swinging
for the fence. It's a place where you can
hit
home runs.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but the Padres have gotten a lot of singles.
Yeah, they hit a ton of singles.
They've had games where they're plenty of singles.
Yeah.
Where's the extra base?
That's why I said try to hit one out today.
You said don't try to hit one out. Just go the other way.
I said, no, okay. Right. Go right. Your approach is right center, but your approach is just a frame of mind. Like, I want to go right center off this guy that throws a lot of changeups, and I just want to try to hit the, I'm going to try to hit the ball in the air, and I'm going to try to get it out of that bandbox of a ballpark.
I mean, especially in right field, yes. The Great American Ballpark, where the ball tends to fly. Guys like Tatis can hit it easily to right field.
I want them hacking today. That's what I want. I do not want to. I mean, they have been. They hacked last night. The guy had 60 pitches through six innings. But I don't think you change your approach that much. But this is a ballpark you can crush and go crush.
I think I heard even Tony Gwynn Jr. mention, you know, it's a pretty good hitter's park when your boy even has one here. I think one of Tony's very few career home runs.
That's amazing.
That's a Great American Ballpark.
What a line, dude. That's killer. No, go out, you know, try to
get. I feel like Yonder Alonso had like 80% of his career home runs at Great American
Ballpark. That's amazing.
But the Padres did not get any yesterday. They really do need to get going offensively.
Got to.
And generally, it's a really good place to get going offensively.
Yeah, it typically is. And, you know, again, the pitching did a good job last night at keeping Cincinnati to two runs, and I think both unearned. So, listen, clean it up on D and try to get the off. I mean, we need it desperately. A right-hander on the bump, no problem for our lineup full of right-handers, apparently.
And, by the way, really great job. We talked about the bullpen and how good it's been. But the fact that Adrian Morejon, Johnny Brito, Yuki Matsui, and Stephen Kolek for one out were able to give the Padres a chance in that game with Joe Musgrove only going three innings and having a doubleheader the day before, that allowed Daniel De Los Santos, Wandy Peralta, Robert Suarez to all have the day off yesterday. So they should have their high leverage guys available. You know, hopefully they can get a decent six innings or so out of Michael King, turn things over to the guys in the bullpen, and find a way to win this game, have a chance to win the series tomorrow morning in the finale, which will be an early start again and mean another shorter show for Ben and Woods on a Thursday. We'll be done at 9:10 tomorrow morning or 9:05 and turn things over to Sammy Levitt for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show.
Could be the worst radio you ever hear. A three-hour show for Ben and Woods.
Well, not only that, but you're heading out to Joshua Tree right after the show.
ASAFP. As soon as that off button clicks. Yeah.
What's your Well, we can talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, what's your
plan?
Your schedule? Your itinerary?
I'll lay it out for you
for Joshua Tree.
Oh, I got some good stuff going.
Do you?
Yeah, real good.
Like plans?
Yeah, real cool stuff.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to that.
I'm not half-assing this trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not all just sitting around the Airbnb, right?
Forward to that.
The entire time, or is that...
No, I'm not going to sit around really at all. I'm going to be having a good time.
Well, will you leave the Airbnb?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to Joshua Tree.
Right.
Right. You got to go walk around and...
Experience.
Expand your mind a little.
See all the trees?
Yes. The rock formations. The desert. I love the desert. Big desert fan.
I mean, if you've got a big enough backyard, you're already
in
the desert.
But
it's not a backyard sort of Airbnb.
No, it's a standalone. I'll show you pictures. All it's right. Sick. Yeah, I'm excited. I just need to get there. So, yeah.
How long is the drive?
Yeah.
It's like 2.5.
You go, where do you go? Up to 15 and then...
I don't even know. I just put it in Waze.
So
I have no idea.
Me.
I have no
we
idea.
We'll have seven routes planned.
If you put a gun in my head and said, drive to Joshua, I'd be like, that's it.
It's kind of north of Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Above the
town. It's like 3 hours, maybe?
So, I don't know. Either you go around or you go over the mountain. You have two choices.
I'm looking forward to a three-hour drive in relative silence other than my music cranking. I will not be listening to PGA Tour radio in the way. I will not be listening to Annie and Elson. I will just be... Or the game. No, I'll be listening to the game.
You'll probably be listening to the game tomorrow.
You're right. I have to. And I want to.
Yeah.
Because we're going to take the series
one. There's nothing better than driving.
That's it.
A three-hour drive with a three-hour game.
Perfect.
Perfect for driving.
Absolutely perfect.
Jesse will take you all the way.
He will.
Hopefully, it'll be a good game on the edge of your seat, and you'll pull in right as the Padres win it in the ninth inning.
There's
nothing better on a road trip day than having a game to listen to. I got to listen to Jesse on my drive back from Henderson a couple of weeks ago.
That's so great.
They didn't win that game, but it did pass a good 3 hours of the drive getting to listen to him call the game. I love that.
I do, too. I'm a big fan of it, so that's what I will do. But it'll be nice to just drive and listen to a baseball game and have some fun, see our buddy Jack out there and get into some trouble.
All right. Annie and Elston standing by. They are coming up momentarily. Here on 97.3 The Fan. That is it for us on a Wednesday. Thank you all to the Tier 1s for joining us on the program today. Paulie continuing to do an outstanding job finding our good friend Rent-A-Pal or Rent-A-Friend on VHS today. That was amazing. He's our executive producer and imaging director for Stephen Woods. I'm Ben Higgins. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
I'm chatter about my NFL commercial.
We did find
many, many years ago. Yeah. NFL ballet commercial.
You were on the sideline of an NFL game.
Yeah, you can Google it. And my buddies call me and text me all the time when they would, because it ran all the time back then. And, it's somebody going up for a pass and another guy right on him. And it's really a beautiful shot. And then you got me in the background looking like a buffoon standing on the sideline. Jeans on.
Someone got the video going right now.
Yeah, got
now.
The video going.
It's very slow motion.
It's slow motion, yeah.
And, there you are.
There's our old pal
now, Woodsy. Now, keep it rolling and see. Now, he's next to the ESPN camera guy. That's why you were there, working with the camera. But, of course, you also positioned yourself within, 6 feet of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders who are standing on the sideline next to you right there. There we go. Yeah.
I'm
convenient.
No dummy. Yeah. That was fun. It was cool to watch a football game from that perspective, of that magnitude.
It's not a great view of a football game.
No, it's really not. There are, what I've found about football, there's not really that many great views of a football game. A 50-yard line's cool. We just sat... Yeah, when I took Bo to Notre Dame last year, and we were like the 45, which was pretty good. Better product on television. Always has been.
Oh, yeah.
Always will be.
100%.
Always will be.
Honestly, I think baseball is better a little bit higher up, like the second section up as well. Just like football is better. You don't want to be way at the top where everyone's like ants, but you need to be able to see the whole field and be somewhere around the middle. So in baseball, kind of behind home plate, you know, at least 20, 30 rows up or in the Petco Park, Toyota Terrace is fantastic behind home plate there, which is why I believe they charge more for those.
Yes, exactly right.
It's a very good perspective on the game, of course.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, man. That was at least 16, 17 years ago. Yeah. So But it was fun, man. Getting to stand down there was really cool. I mean, like, hearing everything down there from that low is pretty badass.
I told you before, when I was in high school, I worked at the pro shop for the Seattle Seahawks, and game days were insane. Just sat at a register all day, you know, selling jerseys or whatever. And on my lunch break, get like 30 minutes, I would go grab some food and then just sneak down the tunnel and sit on the field and watch the game for 15 minutes. And dude, like, that was the first time I'd ever been that close to NFL players. And you're like, they look like vending machines moving at high speeds.
It's,
like,
it's truly bananas.
They're huge. And the speed that they can run with and the agility and how, like, quick they can just kind of move around the field. It's insane how they can move their bodies like that.
I sat probably third row at an NBA game in Boston at the Boston Garden with my dad. And we were like, I was under the goal, but like three rows back, somewhere around that area. Same. I mean, you're looking and going, good Lord, this is these are not human beings. These are physical marvels. Truly, truly incredible.
I'm sat always courtside one time. They were, it was like 2007. Sonics were playing the Orlando Magic. Dwight Howard was like a rookie or something. 7 feet tall. The shoulders on this man.
Yeah,
like, holy crap.
Yeah, I'm not a short person.
No.
I'm over 6 feet, 3 inches tall. Yet when I go onto a basketball court, it's still, the rim still looks up there like a ways. But you watch NBA players up close and they're so easily up by the rim, just dropping the ball in the basket. And
they're also athletic.
I mean, they're athletic, but they're just massively big and athletic at the same time. It is really a remarkable combination.
It's in baseball players, the same thing. You walk down on the field and you're like, I'm older than all of these guys, and I look like a little kid. I look standing next to Joe Musgrove.
I thought Blake Snell was always the best example. I watched him on TV from afar, and you go, yeah, he's kind of a smaller dude,
yeah,
right?
Skinny. No,
like 6'4". Is not. No, 6'5". He is not at all. He's a big, strong
Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish is big, very strong.
Luis Garcia was one of the biggest human beings I have ever seen, and I stood next to him and I went, oh my God.
Have you walked past or stood next to Eniel De Los Santos?
Yes. He's a tank. He's a tank. Yeah.
Huge.
I saw him the other day in the locker room. I went, oh my God, he's a tank. Yeah, and it's like, well, no wonder they throw 97 miles an hour. Look how they're built. It's crazy. No, nah, man, that was a cool.
And people
thing,
make though. Fun of baseball players for being the non-athletes in professional sports. No, they're not.
Things have changed.
Very athletic.
Things have changed.
Even the ones that, you know, the kind of the jokey ones, like the Bartolo Colons and the Heath Bells, the guys who have bellies, they're still incredible athletes. John Kruk, you think he wasn't an incredible athlete?
Incredible.
He was an incredible athlete.
I think about, like, NFL linemen, you know, you just, oh, I grew up thinking, oh, they're just the big fat guys.
Yeah, big fat guys.
No.
Those guys run 4.3 40s now.
Right. they do ballet, as your commercial so very well explained.
It's incredible. All right, let's preview Michael King in the King City, Ben.
Right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. It's the Queen City.
Oh, I thought it was the King City.
No,
Queen City.
Traffic first. This hour, Ben Woods, brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players. Pick your stats. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. You weren't paying attention, obviously, last night when Mark Grant explained the history of the Queen City and why Cincinnati is called the Queen City.
I remember vaguely hearing it, but I thought he said King City.
Some like newspaper ad from the 1800s where they said, oh, Cincinnati, Queen of the Midwest.
Okay.
And they just all of a sudden adopted it. And Cincinnati is the Queen City, but Michael King is going to try to make it into the King City tonight in Game 2 of the Padres series. Well, tonight, Cincinnati, but really this afternoon here. It's a 3:40 first pitch, another 2:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. So we're only a few hours away from baseball here on 97.3 The Fan. It'll be Nick Martinez, the former Padre, on the mound. Padres did beat Nick Martinez in the series at Petco Park. He wasn't terrible. He went 5-6 hits, 3 earned runs, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. But they were able to at least get a little bit of offense against Nick. And the Padres going to be looking to break out. They have gone 19 consecutive innings now without scoring a run. They had the great rally to win the first game of the doubleheader, didn't score in the ninth, and then went 9 innings each of the past 2 games without putting a run on the board.
Let's end that thing here.
How about like,
in the first inning? My God, man, that can't go on. Yeah, Nick Martinez. You know what you're going to get with Nick Martinez. He's not going to overpower these guys. He's going to throw his changeup. I talked to Adam Jones earlier about kind of what he's seeing. A lot of guys trying to go pull side. When you're slumping, you get up there and you're just trying to pull everything. Can't do that, man, on a changeup. You're just going to be Randy Rollover all night, just weakly tapping balls to the shortstop and third baseman. Use that gap in right center if you're a right-hander. Try to hit one out of the ballpark today. I don't care if you're quote-unquote swinging for the fence. It's a place where you can hit home runs.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but the Padres have gotten a lot of singles.
Yeah, they hit a ton of singles.
They've had games where they've plenty of singles.
Yeah.
Where's the extra base?
That's why I said try to hit one out today. I thought you said don't try to hit one out. Just go the other way. I said, go right. Your approach is right center, but your approach is just a frame of mind. Like, I want to go right center off this guy that throws a lot of changeups, and I just want to try to hit the ball in the air, and I'm going to try to get it out of that bandbox of a ballpark.
I mean, especially in right field, yes. The Great American Ballpark, where the ball tends to fly. Guys like Tatis can hit it easily to right field.
I want them hacking today. That's what I want. I do not want to. I mean, they have been. They hacked last night. The guy had 60 pitches through six innings. But I don't think you change your approach that much. But this is a ballpark you can crush and go crush.
I think I heard even Tony Gwynn Jr. mention, you know, it's a pretty good hitter's park when your boy even has one here. I think one of Tony's very few career home runs.
That's amazing.
That's a Great American Ballpark.
What a line, dude. That's killer. That's killer. No, go out, you know, try to
get. I feel like Yonder Alonso had like 80% of his career home runs at Great American
Ballpark. That's amazing.
But the Padres did not get any yesterday. They really do need to get going offensively.
Got to.
And generally, it's a really good place to get going offensively.
Yeah, it typically is. And, again, the pitching did a good job last night at keeping Cincinnati to two runs, and I think both unearned. So, listen, clean it up on D and try to get the off. I mean, we need it desperately. A right-hander on the bump, no problem for our lineup full of right-handers, apparently.
And, by the way, really great job. We talked about the bullpen and how good it's been. But the fact that Adrian Morihone, Johnny Brito, Yuki Matsui, and Stephen Kolek for one out were able to give the Padres a chance in that game with Joe Musgrove only going three innings and having a doubleheader the day before, that allowed Daniel De Los Santos, Wandy Peralta, Robert Suarez to all have the day off yesterday. So they should have their high leverage guys available. You know, hopefully they can get a decent six innings or so out of Michael King, turn things over to the guys in the bullpen, and find a way to win this game, have a chance to win the series tomorrow morning in the finale, which will be an early start again and mean another shorter show for Ben and Woods on a Thursday. We'll be done at 9:10 tomorrow morning or 9:05 and turn things over to Sammy Levitt for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show.
Could be the worst radio you ever hear. A three-hour show for Ben and Woods.
Well, not only that, but you're heading out to Joshua Tree right after the show.
ASAFP. As soon as that off button clicks. Yeah.
What's your Well, we can talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, what's your
my plan?
Your schedule? Your itinerary?
I'll lay it out for you
for Joshua Tree.
Oh, I got some good stuff going.
Do you?
Yeah, real good.
Like plans?
Yeah, real cool stuff.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to that.
I'm not half-assing this trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not all just sitting around the Airbnb, right? The entire time, or is that...
No, I'm not going to sit around, really, at all. I'm going to be having a good time.
Well, will you leave the Airbnb?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to Joshua Tree.
Right.
Right. You got to go walk around and...
Experience.
Expand your mind a little.
See all the trees?
Yes, the rock formations, the desert. I love the desert. Big desert fan.
I mean, if you've got a big enough backyard, you're already in the desert.
But
it's not a backyard sort of Airbnb.
No, it's a standalone. I'll show you pictures. It's sick. Yeah, I'm excited. I just need to get there. So, yeah.
How long is the drive?
Yeah.
It's like 2.5.
You go, where do you go? Up to 15 and then...
I don't even know. I just put it in Waze.
You're so
I have no idea.
We will have seven routes planned.
If you put a gun to my head and said, drive to Joshua, I'd be like, that's it.
It's kind of north of Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Above the
town. It's 3 hours, maybe?
So, I don't know. Either you go around or you go over the mountain. You have two choices.
I'm looking forward to a three-hour drive in relative silence other than my music cranking. I will not be listening to PGA Tour radio in the way. I will not be listening to Annie and Elson. I will just be... Or the game. No, I'll be listening to the game.
You'll probably Game's be listening on. To the Son game tomorrow.
You're right. I have to. And I want to.
Yeah.
Because we're going to take the series
on. There's nothing better than driving.
That's it.
A three-hour drive with a three-hour game. Perfect for driving.
Absolutely perfect.
Jesse will take you all the way.
He'll hopefully be
a good game on the edge of your seat, and you'll pull in right as the Padres win it in the ninth inning.
There's exactly
nothing
right.
better on a road trip day than having a game to listen to. I got to listen to Jesse on my drive back from Henderson a couple of weeks ago.
That's so great.
They didn't win that game, but it did pass a good 3 hours of the drive getting to listen to him call the game. I love that.
I do too. I'm a big fan of it, so that's what I will do. But it'll be nice just drive and listen to a baseball game and have some fun. See our buddy Jack out there and get into some trouble.
All right. Annie and Elston standing by. They are coming up momentarily here on 97.3 The Fan. That is it for us on a Wednesday. Thank you all to the Tier 1s for joining us on the program today. Paulie continuing to do an outstanding job finding our good friend Rent-A-Pal or Rent-A-Friend on VHS today. That was amazing. He's our executive producer and imaging director for Stephen Woods. I'm Ben Higgins. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.